Bezdin.
What?
Does it say anything about Bezdin? How do we know it's on Bezdin? How do we know it's a chiv of Bezdin? Bezdin represents the Rabbim, so the Sefer Makta assumes the chiv on Bezdin is because Bezdin represents the Rabbim. So if Bezdin represents the Rabbim, really it's not a chiv just on Bezdin, it's a chiv on Klal Yisrael. So the Sefer Makta says the woman is potter from being the first line chiv, from the chiv of the father. The father is the chiv to do it first. He has a unique chiv as a yachid to do it. The woman is potter from doing it as a yachid, as the first line chiyuv. But she's still part of Klal Yisrael. Himo lachem, lachem includes all of Klal Yisrael. So the Sefer Makna assumes, even though the woman is potter from giving her son a bris milah like the father, she's potter from being from the first obligation, she's chayiv in the second tier obligation as part of Klal Yisrael. She's just as chayiv, right? If Mr. Schwartz has a baby, Mr. Schwartz is chayiv first. And if Mr. Schwartz doesn't do it, then Mrs. Schwartz is just as chayiv as you, or me, or him. She's part of Klal Yisrael, and she's chayiv, even though she's potter from Bayom Avram, if you touch to know, she's chayiv, and Himo Lachem Kol Zachor is a member of Klal Yisrael. Okay, excellent. We'll have to deal with Tzipora and Moshe is a very good point. Tzipora, now, do we know that Tzipora was chayiv to give her son a bris? I mean, let's just think about this logically. Can you learn from the parsha that Tzipora was chayiv to give her son a bris? Well, she did give her son a bris. Why did she give her son a bris? Because she was chayiv? Why did she give her son a bris? Because what was about to happen? Someone was about to die, right? It's a bit of machlokas among the Farshim. Who was about to die? Rashi, the Torah, and most people assume Moshe Rabbeinu was about to die. Although the Rabbeinu Chananel assumes, right? It doesn't actually say who the whatever it was, Malach, or whatever the story was, tried to kill. But Rashi assumes Moshe Rabbeinu, not everyone agrees. Some people assume it was the baby. But she did it because it was an emergency and someone was going to die. That doesn't necessarily prove she was chayiv to do it. That proved that, right, what does it say? Novus, Mwakam Sheinan Noshim, Hishtad Alios Isha, apparently. So that might get into another question of whether a woman is kosher to do a bris. That the Gemara Avodah Zarah deals with. But let's get back to our inyan. So the Makna says the woman's potter from the first tier obligation, but she's kind of equivalent to the rest of Klal Yisrael. Does the Ran agree with the Sefer Makna? What do you think? Does the Ran agree? Or the Ritva or the Ramban? Does the Ran agree with the Sefer Makna? Does everyone agree with the Sefer Makna that a woman is kind of in the second tier obligation as part of Klal Yisrael? Anyone?
Maybe it's the father is...
Hold it. Jason Finkelstein?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
That, because if according to the Ram, where it's just to make sure that it's really on the kid or the father, just to make sure that then there shouldn't be any different, really, than the base. And so once she's, the pasuk comes to knock her out from the father, and she'd like everything else, too.
Okay, excellent. According to the Ram, let's look at the Lashon of the Ram again. If you turn to the Ram, Jason is absolutely 1,000% correct. It is on page Yudal, page... Yud Beis Amin Aleph, in the first skinny line, right, the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 skinny line, 8 skinny, 6 skinny line, Yalfinan Avol Mitzvah De'inu Lo Shaychu Ki Ha Eima Lechaivu Midid Havei Abez. We might think women, 7th skinny line, I apologize, Yud Beis Amin Aleph, the Ran, 7th skinny line, we might think women are chayiv just as much as Bezdin. As Jason pointed out, it's really just everyone else thinking of the baby, the mechayivi. Kamashvalon, we might have thought they're as chayiv as Bezdin. What does Kamashvalon mean? That we learn that they are not as chayiv as Bezdin. So the Ran is saying we might have thought they were chayiv just like Bezdin, all the Klal Yisrael was chayiv. Kamashvalon Osovlo saw that it excludes women from the Chiyuv Bris Milah, even from the Chiyuv on the level of all of Bezdin and all of Klal Yisrael. So we have a locus between the Sefer HaMakne and the Ran. And as I pointed out earlier, the Ritva and the Ramban say the same thing as Ran. The Sefer HaMakne says she might be potter for the first tier obligation, but she's chayiv in the second tier obligation. The Ran says she's potter legamre even from the second tier obligation. She's potter legamre. She's not even chayiv like one of Klal Yisrael. She just doesn't have to care at all whether or not her son is a bris milah. She might have like motherly instincts, but halachically, she doesn't have to care at all whether her son has a bris milah. What? Maybe that was the Machnas Lashon.
Yeah.
Okay, but Duran disagrees with it. So the Machnas says she has to seek out, she has to worry about her son's Rishmila like the rest of Klal Yisrael. She doesn't have a unique Chiyav, but she has the Chiyav as part of Klal Yisrael to worry about every baby's Rishmila. Meaning she's just as Chayav to worry about her son's Rishmila as she is to worry about her neighbor's son's Rishmila. She at least has a second tier Chiyav. The Ran says she doesn't have any Chiyav at all, even less than Bezdin and Klal Yisrael. Why would she have no Chiyav at all? Not even on the level of Bezdin? Because the drasha osovlo saw patters women from bris mila. Now let me ask you a question, Daniel. You ask me a question first. So lechora, it's talking about each singular woman in Klal Yisrael. Lechora. Now I forget who asked me this the first day. Someone asked me the question. Look in the Mishnah. Let's try to be medayik in the Mishnah. Let's see if we can see, again, just because the Mishnah is more meduyuk doesn't prove anything, who the Mishnah is more meduyuk like. Kol mitzvas haben al ha'av, anoshim chayavin v'noshim pturos, which we know the Gemara established mean any mitzvahs about the kids that the parents have to do. Men are chayav and women are pasher. So what else could the Mishnah have said instead of men are chayav and women are pasher? What? Or what else could it have chosen to say? Why didn't it say ha'av chayev v'ha'im pater? Why did it say men are chayev and women are pater? Why didn't it say av is chayev and aim is pater? So maybe you could say this Mishnah is meduya like the Ran. What does it mean men are chayev and women are pater? Not just the mother is pater from her special relationship to her son, but women are pater legame from bris mila. Maybe that's how the Ran reads it. Women... Anoshim chayiv and noshim pturos. Women are patur legamrei from bris mila. They're not even chayiv on the level of Klal Yisrael, because women are completely patur from the chiyuv of bris mila. According to the Machna, women aren't patur from bris mila. Mothers are patur from bris mila. What does the Machna say? The mother's patur. Her being a mother doesn't create a chiyuv, but she's still chayiv as a member of Klal Yisrael, equal to men. According to the Machna, she's chayiv like all other men, just not like a father. But according to the Machna, would say the Mishnah only uses the Ishva'isha to be parallel to the other part of the Mishnah. But the Ran would say no. The Ran would say, me medayik in this line of the Mishnah, anoshim chayiv and noshim pturos, men are chayiv, women are pater legamrei. Not only are women pater from their responsibility to their kid uniquely as a parent, they're even pater from the responsibility of Klal Yisrael to have shmiras bris mila, and they're even pater from the obligation, the mother is even pater. Mrs. Schwartz is even pater more than I am for her baby, because at least I'm a member of Klal Yisrael, I'm a man who's chayiv and bris. Women are pater legamrei from bris mila, even on the level of Bezdin. So it could... No, never said all anashim are chayiv on the same level, just said all anashim are chayiv. What? No, but it just says anashim chayiv, it doesn't say on the same level, there could be different types of anashim. So it could be that if you ask, what's the p'tor, the Machna would say there's a p'tor of mothers from bris mila. Mothers don't have the special parent obligation. But she still has the Klal Yisrael obligation. Well, the Ran says, no, women are p'tor. Women are p'tor legamrei, mothers are p'tor legamrei on all levels. She doesn't even have to give him a bris on the level that all Klal Yisrael has to give him a bris. She just doesn't have to care at all. So that's two shitas, what it means that the mother is p'tor from giving her sons a bris mila. Now it could be that this ties into another machlokas rishonim, which is whether a woman has to give her avodim a bris mila. Does a woman have to give avodim a bris mila? What would you say? Does a woman have to give avodim a bris mila? Okay, correct. I think, yeah, it can prove that, but the Machna seems to assume that way. The Machna brings a raya from this. It may be another nafkamina between the Machna and the Ran is, does a woman have to give her avodim of bris mila. Because if you say, like the Sefer HaMakneh, a woman's equal to all of Klal Yisrael, she just has no special obligation as a mother. As a mother, she's part of her parenting obligation of bris mila. But she's chayiv in the Klal Yisrael obligation of bris mila, in which case, if she had a slave, she should be like everyone else in Klal Yisrael and be chayiv to give the evidence of bris mila. But according to the Ran, where a woman is part of the gamrei from bris mila, she doesn't have to worry about her baby, even if all of Klal Yisrael has to worry. She's not even part. Women are not part of the Klal Yisrael that has to worry about bris mila at all. They're part of the gamrei from bris mila. Then it would make sense. The woman shouldn't have to give her evidence of bris mila. I mean, it might be a nice thing to do, but she shouldn't be chayiv to do it, because she's pater mufgar from the whole mitzvah of bris mila. So it could be another nafkamina might be, is a woman chayiv to give her avadim of bris mila or not? What's the truth? Is a woman chayiv to give her avadim of bris mila? So, it doesn't actually say anywhere in Shas whether a woman has to give her evidence of bris mila or not. But how might we try to deduce it? How might we try to figure out whether a woman has to give her evidence of bris mila? What day of the year might we be able to figure out whether a woman has to give her evidence of bris mila? What? On Pesach. Why? Because the way we paskin, if I have to give someone a bris mila and I don't, then what happens to me? I can't eat the carbon Pesach. Right? That says, umalto, so oz yochalbo, we pass like Rabbi Yeshua. It means if I have a kid or an eved and I don't give it, if I give him a bris mila, I can eat the carbon Pesach. If I don't give him a bris mila, I can't eat the carbon Pesach. So it may be that we can figure out this answer by finding out whether or not if a woman has an eved without a bris mila, she can eat the carbon Pesach or not. So what's the answer? If a woman has an eved without a bris mila, can she eat a carbon Pesach? So let's look at the Rambam. It's on the sheet here. Rambam hilchos carbon Pesach for yerkei halacha vav. Hakatan ein milas avada v'tfila shevchosa ma'akavto l'inlonos ala Pesach shenemar v'chol eved ish l'hotzi is hakatan. If you have a katan and he has slaves that don't have bris mila, or female slaves that didn't go to the mikvah, it's not a problem. It doesn't prevent him from carbon Pesach. It doesn't possible him from carbon Pesach. Says only Eved Ish Umalto, so only an Ish. If he has an Eved, he has to give the Eved a bris mila. But low Eved is a katan. But a katan who's not an Ish, who's just a Ben, doesn't have to give his slaves a bris mila. So the Rambam patters a katan from this Indian of bris mila of his slaves.
What if he is an
apotropos? Would be an interesting question. Would it be ma'akiv the apotropos? Not sure. It's a good question. That might depend on how much bilis an apotropos has. I'm not sure. That's a good question. Nothing yet. So what does the Kesher Mishnah say? Hakaton ein milas avodah v'tfila shivchosav ma'akavto v'chuli. Yesh l'tmoa. Titani v'mcholto chol evet ish. Mechilta says, we know an Eved of an Ish needs a bris mila. How do we know the Eved of an Ish or Kata needs a bris mila? From the extra words, Miknas Kesef. So the Mechilta seems to say an Eved of an Ish or Kata does need a bris mila before the owner can eat a carbon Pesach. The Niri says, the Rabbeinu have a Gersa, must be the Rambam had a different Gersa. Mechilta Eved Ish, velo shall Ish of a Kata. The Rambam must have had a Gersa, and it's the Kesef. The Rambam doesn't say anything. Kesef Mishnah says, what was the Rambam's Gersa? Eved Ish. Velo isha v'katan, evet ish. A man's evet needs a bris mila, or else he can't eat carbon Pesach. But a woman or child's evet, it's okay. She can eat a carbon Pesach without giving him a bris. So a woman can eat a carbon Pesach, or a child can eat a carbon Pesach without giving a slave a bris. So a katan is easy. Why don't we say it's a problem the katan didn't give his evet a bris? The katan is? What? Pater for mitzvos. How about a woman? Why is a woman allowed to eat the carbon Pesach if she didn't give her evet a bris? So, who would the Kesef Mishnah agree with? Seemingly? The Ran. Kesef Mishnah would work well with the Ran. What does the Ran say? It's not just a p'tur of the mother from being a first-line chi of a bris mila. It's a p'tur of women legamri from bris mila. They're not even a second-line chi of. They don't even have responsibility as part of a member of Klal Yisrael. So then the Kesef Mishnah would make a lot of sense according to the Ran. If you say there's a p'tur legamrei anoshim chayavim v'noshim p'turos, there's a p'tur of noshim from the whole union of bris mila, then a woman is pachter from giving her son a bris, even if no one else gave him a bris. She's pachter from being part of Klal Yisrael and worrying about giving her son a bris. And if she is avadim, she's pachter from giving her avadim a bris as well. So the case of the Mishnah would make sense. If a woman was legamrei potter from bris milah, she'd be potter from giving her a potter from bris, which explains why she can eat a carbon pesach without giving her a vadim of bris. Because she didn't do anything wrong. She was potter from the inyan of bris. She doesn't need to worry about the inyan of bris. The Mishnah Lamelech, however, answers, what does he say? Look what the Kesem Mishnah wrote. The bottom of the page, the only problem is, in Yevamos, it seems to say the opposite. Eved Ish, v'lo Eved Isha, bit miyah. Verse says, bit miyah. Could it be Eved Ish to exclude Eved Isha? Could you really say that an Isha is excluded from the necessity of giving her Eved a bris? Mashva, digam gebi Isha, milas avodim akevas. It's mashva that by a woman also, she has to give a milah to her Eved, and that would prevent her from eating a Karban Pesach. Okay, so that's Thenius, another kasha. But the Mishnah Melech, the Sefer Makta says the same thing, is Medayik from the Gemara Nivamos against the Rambam. And there are ways out of it. But the Mishnah Melech says, what do we learn from the Gemara Nivamos? Eved Ish, v'lo Eved Isha, could it be that Ish excludes Isha? Obviously we included Isha. Pesach Mishnah said exclude Isha. The Mishnah Melech brought in the Gemara Nivamos Memches that we include an Isha. So what's the Mishnah Melech saying? He's saying it's Pashut. Even if a katan can eat a carbon pesach without giving his avodim a bris, an Isha, a woman, needs to give all her avodim a bris before she's allowed to eat the carbon pesach. So it could be that this machlokes in the Kesset Mishnah and the Mishnah Melech is totally on the machlokes between the Ran and the Sefer HaMachne. According to the Ran, that a woman's pasul gamra yinoshin peturos, she's even potter from giving her son a bris, the second tier chiyuv. She's even potter from being part of Klal Yisrael, who have to worry about giving her son a bris. And she's potter from giving her avodim a bris. Because she's mufka legamri, she's potter legamri from the mitzvah of bris. But according to the Machne, a woman really is chayiv to give her son a bris. She's chayiv just as much as me. Women and men are equal. The mother doesn't have the same chiyuv as the father to give her son a bris. Because a mother is not a father. But a woman has the same chiyuv as a man in bris milah, because just like all men have to worry about all Jewish babies having a bris, all women have to worry about all Jewish babies having a bris. She's part of Himolach and Kol Zachar. Therefore, that would fit in well with the Mishnah Lamelech, who says that she, a mother might be potter from bris milah, but a woman is chayiv in bris milah. Therefore, she has to give her avadim a bris milah. And if she doesn't give her avadim a bris milah, then she can't eat the carbon pesach because she was derelict in her chiyuv of bris milah. But bris milah is shayach fundamentally to women. Just the mother doesn't have to take care of it like the father does. But women fundamentally are shayach in bris milah, and that's why if a woman has a slave that's still an arel, she's not allowed to eat the carbon pesach. So this might be toloi on machlokas machne and the Ran.
That would be the same as the chiyuv of Klal Yisrael then.
What?
That would be the same as the chiyuv of Klal Yisrael. There's no special mitzvah to specifically not have a slave that's arel.
Well, no, there is a special mitzvah to give your Eved a bris milah.
And that's also chal on the woman.
What?
That's also chal on the woman.
And that's also chal on the woman, the Mishnah Melech seems to say.
But in general, you can't eat a korban pesach while somebody else is chal.
Correct. It's only people in your rishus right. Who are ma'akev you from bringing a korban pesach.
Otherwise, nobody can have korban pesach unless everybody was.
Right, otherwise, right, which would be a little ridiculous. Now we'll get back to say, you can say things a little differently, but at least on the pshat level, the Mishnah Melech says she needs to give her slaves a milah to have a carbon pesach, because she's chayiv in milah. Not on the level of the father, but she's chayiv in milah. The Kesemish says she can eat a carbon pesach without worrying about her slaves orlas, because she's potter from the whole inyan of milah, which matches the Ran that she's potter from the whole inyan of milah. No, because I'm saying only for the Ran. The Ran says women are pater legamri. All of Klal Yisrael is chayiv, and all women are pater. No, the Ran disagrees with the Machne. According to the Machne...
But he does agree with the fact that with the Machne's suggestion that all of Klal Yisrael is
chayiv. Yeah, Lechori, that Bezdin might mean all of Klal Yisrael, he would agree with. Yeah. Now... Those are two shitas. Those are the two simple shitas in terms of in terms of interpreting our Gemara. The Gemara has a three-tier shita. First father, then Bez and Klal Yisrael, then the guy himself. Obviously, women are puzzled in the third tier from being the person himself, because they themselves don't need a bris. Question is, when the Mishnah says women are putter, was a putter in them only from the first tier? They are not like the father to come first, but they are do come second with all the other Jewish people. Or is it putter in them entirely from all the tiers? They never have to worry about Brisila. That's the machlokes in the Ran and the Sefer HaMakneh. Now, there's a third sheet as well, which is a very, very big chiddush. What's the sheet of the Marach or Zeruah here? The Marach or Zeruah has a very big chiddush, his sheet. What does he say? He says, it's on the sheet here, Shut Marach or Zeruah, part of the Marach or Zeruah we learned yesterday, but part of it we learned today, and one second, the Eloshim, Fafilo Im, aha, so let's look at the Marach or Zeruah on the Makor sheet. The about everyone see where it says Yivama Staf Ayin Aleph in parentheses in the middle of the Marach or Zeruah? So three words before then. Vahai the Mila Sechorv Isnu B'Shasachil Lesnu B'Shasasiya. The Gemara Yivama says this funny case. They want to explain how you can find a funny case where you have Zechorv, meaning you have a male child. You have a male child, which you were potter from bris, which you were chayiv to give him a bris at the time of eating the Korban Pesach, but you were potter from giving him a bris at the time of shechting the Korban Pesach. Now, how can it be? Shechting the Korban Pesach, eating the Korban Pesach is on the same day. So how can it be that you were chayiv to give him a bris in the afternoon, in the late afternoon, but you were potter from giving him a bris in the early afternoon? They say a very simple example. How could someone be potter from giving a son a bris at 3 o'clock, but chayiv to give a son a bris at 6 o'clock? Where were they at 3 o'clock? In jail, prison, wherever they were. They were in jail. So that's what the Gemara says. It says the father and mother were locked up in jail. So at 3 o'clock when the Korban Pesach was shechted, they were locked up in jail. And that's why they were potter from bris. They were locked in jail. What do we call the ptur of being locked in jail halachically? Onus, right. Okay, but later on, at 7 o'clock, they get out of jail, and then they should give their kid a bris. Okay, why exactly we need to have this scenario is not important. It's just to explain the psukim. Not important for us now, I mean, to explain the psukim and yavamos, but that's the scenario. Now, this whole thing, only one word in this Gemara is very funny and striking to us. What word in this Gemara is funny? What would you have answered? I asked the question, how you can have a ptur at 3 o'clock and a chiyav at 7 o'clock. What would you have answered? That the blank of the baby was in jail at 3 o'clock. The father of the baby was in jail at 3 o'clock. What did the Gemara Yivama say? Of the emo, the father and mother were in jail at 3 o'clock. It said the father and mother were in jail at 3 o'clock and got out later. So, what does this imply? He says, Hasanami, ein mutal ala achirim lasok mi laso. There also, there's no obligation on other people to worry about the bris mila, shel zad, she yates, and beis. The rest of Klal Yisrael is putter, because the father... When the father gets out of jail, he'll take care of it. So the rest of Klal Yisrael doesn't have to worry about it. And it seems that at that time when the father's in jail, the Bezdin doesn't have to worry about bris mila. Why? Because Bezdin was sure eventually the father would get out of jail and would take care of the bris mila. So no one else took care of the bris mila while the father was in jail because they were just waiting for him to get out. But why? What about the mother? Why does the mother have to be in jail? What if the mother wasn't in jail? What would you have said if the mother wasn't in jail? What would you have said? According to the Ran, what if the mother wasn't in jail? What would she do, according to the Ran? Would she be chayiv if the mother wasn't in jail? No. What about according to the Makneh? If the mother wasn't in jail, would she do the bris mila or would she wait for the father? She would? Do the bris mila? Why? Because she has the same obligation as? But didn't he just say, that Klal Yisrael didn't take care of the bris mila because they were waiting for the father to come out. Bezdin has no chiyav if the father is going to do it. So according to the Ran, the woman's mother should have been potter because she's not chayav bris mila. Even according to the Makneh, the woman's only second-tier obligation. The father still going to do it. So the woman should let the father, the mother should let the father do it. According to any pshat we've seen, this gemara doesn't make sense. This gemara doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense according to any pshat we've seen. If the woman has no chiyav, then she has no chiyav. Even if the woman has a second tier chiyav, she has no chiyav as long as the father's alive. As long as the father's getting out of jail soon, right? The father wasn't going to be in jail for 20 years. He was getting out that day. As long as the father's getting out that day, the woman, right? Should I go give someone a bracelet their father is going to come later that day? Of course not. The bezdin, a strangers don't come and give a bris if the father's coming later that day. So the mother also should have been puzzled from giving a bris because the father is coming later that day. So what's shot in this Gemara? So what does the Marach or Zoro conclude? He says, if the woman was not in jail, so why does it say the mother is in jail? The mother is putter even if she's not in jail. Why does Chazal put her in jail? The mother's irrelevant anyway. She has no chiyuv as long as there's a father around. So what must it be? He is a chayev es lasok. It must be that if the mother was not in jail, she would have been chayev in bris milah. But how? If she's patur l'gamrei, she's patur l'gamrei. She's chayev only on the level of bezdin, second tier. Then the second tier is patur while there's still a father. Must be the lo memag l'kro elaheicha de'isa le'avua. That the pasuk only excludes a woman from bris milah when the father's doing the bris milah. But if the father's putter, then the woman is chayav. The lo dami l'pidyon ol Talmud Torah. The hasam yolif. And it's not like pidyon. Pidyon ben, the mother's totally putter. Talmud Torah, the mother doesn't have to give her son a pidyon ben at all. She doesn't have to teach him Torah at all. The hasam yolif mitifte tifte milumadim lumadim. We'll see that in the Gemara. Mash ink yabi milu. There they have a whole limud. Just like a woman doesn't get a pidyon ben, she doesn't give her son a pidyon ben. Just like a woman doesn't learn Torah, she doesn't have to teach her son Torah. Masha Enkin Gabi Mila. Unlike Mila, there's no special lima to exclude her. And if you say, what do you mean there's no special lima to exclude her? What about? Oso. The ime oso, and if from the word oso, third to last line, lomatsinu lemifter afil kules el av. We couldn't pater from oso, even if there's no av. The chola Torah b'loshon zachar namra. V'ishva kasam isha l'ish. Because oso is just a male language, loshon zachar. All the Torah is written in Lashon Zachar, and it still applies to women, right? If you have a law in America, right, it says if anyone is driving, you know, on a certain highway, he may not go further than 60, faster than 65 miles an hour. Does that apply only to men because it says he? No, because there's no neutral pronouns in English. So if it says he, it means men and women. Likewise, the Torah, if it says also, it means men and women. And men, women are equivalent to men. So he says, really? Women are the same. Women have the same chiyuv as men. If the man's not, if the father's in jail, then the mother's chayiv to give her kid a bris. And that's why the case of the Gemara was the mother in jail also. The im lo he lo haisa chavush. The mother wouldn't have been in jail. Nimsa shimiyam shmini shuzman amilak farhut lachov aleha. So on the eighth day, she would be obligated. Va'filim hayahav yotzi ben asiel achilu haymaakiv lechol shvarhut la laim lo dami leveidina. And he says, even if, once she's obligated and the father's in jail, even if the father gets out of jail, it's not his problem. He's allowed to eat his carbon pesach because it's her problem. She already got the chiyuv. She's not lo dummy lebedina. What does he mean, lo dummy lebedina? She doesn't have a chiyuv only on the level of bezdin. She has a stronger chiyuv than on the level of bezdin. Now, only one question is marach or zeruah. So what's he saying? He's saying that the woman's not like bezdin. Bezdin is only chayav after we give up on the father. And the woman's certainly not patur l'gamrei. The woman is lo dami l'bedina. She's more chayav than bezdin. If the father's not around, she immediately becomes the main chayav. And because oso can't really exclude women. Now what's strange about this Marach Zura? The Gemara says oso does exclude the mother from bris milah. So how is the Marach Zura understanding our Gemara? Obviously he knows that. Right? He knows the Gemara. He was a Rishon. He knows Shas. So what is he saying our Gemara means? What does our Gemara mean to Darshan? It says, Oso v'lo osa. Exactly. And what he's saying is that Oso is not a pasha lima to exclude women. Right? What does he mean to say? He doesn't mean to say there's no drush of Oso v'lo osa. Then he'd be an apikoris. He wouldn't be a rishon. Right? So, of course the Gemara darshes it. But he says there are two kinds of drushas. There's drushas where the word actually means to exclude women. Or the drusha actually means to exclude women. And then there's drushas where there's no actual meaning to exclude women. Oso doesn't necessarily exclude women, just there's an extra word. So we learn an extra din to exclude women. Shot of oso doesn't exclude women. Just there's an extra, do you need the word oso? What if it had said kasher tziva alokim? Would anyone have complained if the Torah said kasher tziva alokim? Would you have complained? No, kasher tzivah lokim. I wouldn't have complained. So the word also is extra. So pshat of also doesn't exclude women, because pshat of also is like when I say he, and I always mean he or she. That's just the way he taught. When you say also, in modern day Hebrew, if someone make a law in Knesset and say also, they would mean also also. Pshat of also doesn't exclude also, just the extra word also excludes also. When you have a lima that's just from the extra word, then it's not a complete exclusion. It's just a partial exclusion. If all you have is a lima from an extra word, then you can only learn one level of Torah from an extra word. You can only learn the smallest level of Torah. What's the smallest level of Torah? That a woman is still the first tier chiyuv. But, as David told us, she's second to the father. She's first tier chiyuv B. First chiyuv is the father has to give his son a bris. If the father's not available, the mother's chayiv to give her son a bris. And then if the father and mother aren't available, then the chiyuv goes on to all of Klal Yisrael onto the Beis Din. And if the Beis Din never does it, the chiyuv goes on to the son himself. So the Ma'arech HaZeruah comes up with a tremendous chiddush, which you would never have thought from our Gemara. Not the Ran and not the Sefer HaMakneh. The Ma'arech HaZeruah says that really, the mother has a first tier chiyuv like the father. She's chayav more than the rest of Klal Yisrael, not equal and not less. But she just comes second to the Av. All it meant is Oso comes first, Glosa, Oso doesn't come first. But she does come second ahead of the rest of Klal Yisrael. That's the sheet of the Ma'arech HaZeruah.
Is it possible to say that, just like we suggested before, that one of the reasons why the father would be tied to the son is just because he's a vehicle to facilitate the principle onto the son? So just like the father is tied now to the son, the wife has the same sort of fear on her husband. So that fits well with the Gemara.
You're saying the chiv of the mother to give her son a bris is not a chiv to the son, it's a chiv to the husband.
Right, and that's why there's only such a limited case that when it comes from the husband's realm,
they can't do it. That's a very interesting idea. The only problem is that, like, we don't find in general the wife's chiv to do mitzvah, the wife's chiv to do mitzvahs for her husband. Like, I don't know, is the wife's chiv the chiv to fulfill all her husband's mitzvahs if her husband doesn't do them? Wait, I'm not sure, that's a big fish.
No,
part of the wifely duties.
You're saying maybe
it would. Let's say the husband had an office where the wife, only the husband worked in the office and didn't put up a mezuzah. Maybe the wife would be chayav to go put up a mezuzah. Part of her wifely duties. Right. Okay. That's an interesting chiddush. I'm not sure if it's true, but it's an interesting idea that part of conjugal duties of a wife are to do her husband's mitzvahs. Okay. Yeah, sure. Yeah, let's say he walked out before the bris. Right? I know of a case like that, where the father walked out before the bris, or even better, what if the father wasn't from and didn't believe in bris milah? So I think, let's say the father walked out, lo aleinu, both ways lo aleinu. The father walked out in the family before the bris milah. He said, that's it, I didn't want any kids, I'm leaving from the hospital. So, or the father decided, you know what, I don't believe in this Judaism stuff anymore, I'm actually becoming Baha'i, and I don't think my son needs any sort of bris. So, in those cases, the Ma'arech HaZeruah would say for sure, the woman becomes immediately the first tier chiyuv. She is uniquely chayuv. While the Makneh would just say she and all of Klal Yisrael are chayuv together, and the Ran would say she's part of Lagamri, not her problem. Again, her motherly instincts might kick in, but halachically, not her problem. Now, the Ma'arech HaZeruah has a tremendous chiddush. He says, really, the woman is chayav more than Beis Din. As he ends with, velo dami lebei dina. She's not like a Beis Din. She has the first tier chiyuv, just one B after the father. If so, where does he get that from? Seems to be against the pshat of our Gemara, but he says, no, Oso is only a small. It's not pshat to exclude women. It's just a drash to exclude women. Just in the extra words, it's only a small meal of women. It reminds them from being 1A, from being first, but they're still a second place, not tied with the rest of Klal Yisrael. Where does he get that from? He says, Mefurish Gemara Yevamos. What does Gemara Yevamos say? The father and mother were in jail. The diuk is, if the mother was out of jail, she would be chayav. Seems like a reasonable diuk. And the truth is that Rashi and Yevamos seems to agree with the Ma'arech HaZeruah. Rashi says, I'll read to you the Rashi. Rashi says, Umitzvas mila mutelet aleihem velo al acherim. The mitzvah of bris mila is placed, the responsibility is on them. Who's the them? Them is plural. The mother and the father. Father and the mother. And not on anyone else. Meaning it's not on the madrega of everyone else, of like the madrega of Bezin. No. The chiyuv is only on the father and mother and not on anyone else. And that's why they have to do the bris mila, or else they won't be able to eat in Karban Pesach. And that's why the only way they can be puster is if they're in jail. So Rashi says the chiyuv is on them in the plural language, the father and mother, and not on anyone else. Rashi seems to agree with them. Arach or Zeruah, the chiyuv is on the father and mother more than everyone else. What about Oso v'lo Osa? Must be Oso is just saying the mother's not 1A. But she is tier 1B. She's still more than the Pali Yisrael. She just plays second fiddle to the father. Say that again? Ah, so that's an entirely different question. That's a machlokas amoraim in Avodah Zarah Daf Chav Zayin. If a woman physically does the bris, is that valid? We know a guy is not allowed to do a bris. The woman allowed to be a mohelis, right? So is a woman allowed to be mohelis? So that, right, so that's the machlokas. One day it says a woman's allowed to be mohelis like Tzipora. The other day it says no. Tzipora didn't do it herself. She actually got someone else to do it. What? Who else was there? I don't know. There might have been Jews who were hanging out there. She actually got someone else to do it. And really, a woman's puzzled from being a mohelis. Halacha l'maisa, we paskin that l'chachila, we're machmer that a woman can't be a mohelis. But b'di'evad b'shas hachak, we're actually making, and we say a woman can be a mohelis. Although, not only b'di'evad b'shas hachak. But that, so that would depend on that machlokas. Certainly, if she hired a mohel to do it, then l'maisa, the kid would have a bris, right? She'd be mekayim something, just like picking up a lulav, which she doesn't have to, but she's mekayim something, perhaps. So, let's just get back to this Gemara Yevamos. I just have one simple question. The Gemara Yevamos seems to say, like Rashi says, the chiv is on both them, like the Ma'arach or Zeruah, that the chiv is uniquely on the father, and after him uniquely on the mother, more so than the rest of Klal Yisrael. How do we explain this Gemara Yevamos for the Rashi and Sefer Makna? Sefer Makna says she's only chayv on the level of the rest of Klal Yisrael. Not aleihem v'lo alecheiru. The Rashi says she's not even chayv on the level of Klal Yisrael. She's pater legamre. Right? So the Makna says she's chayv the same level as Judah Rosenberg's chayv, who never even met the kid, Klal Yisrael. The Quran says she's chayiv even less than Judah Rosenberg, the stranger. So, how do they explain the Gemara Yevamos? Why did the Gemara Yevamos say the parents are both in jail? Why did they say the mother's in jail? The mother's pater anyway, it doesn't matter if she's in jail. So how do they explain the Gemara Yevamos? Anyone get a chance to... Should I assume, by the way, that people didn't get to the Makoros on this sheet? What? The second sheet. I'm still on the second sheet. Raise your hand if you finished the second sheet of Makoros. Okay. So, all those people who raise their hands should know the answer. Now you're trapped. It's fine. Quality is more important than quantity anyway. But, how would we explain the Gemara Yevamos for the Ran and the Makna? Why did it say the woman's in jail? Who cares where the woman is? Who cares where the mother is? The mother's pater anyway. Either she's pater l'kamre, right? Or she's no more chiyuv than anyone else in the world.
She would just have to do it so she'd be able to do the Karban Pesach.
Ah, who says that? The Marsha. The Marsha is a big chiddush. There were some Lufki actually said that this was from Rav Chaim, this chiddush. Okay, the Marsha was a few hundred years before Rav Chaim as well. So, the Marsha says, now, you have to put your thinking caps on. Really, you know why the mother is chayav to give her son a bris mila? Not because she's chayav to give her son a bris mila. Chas v'shalom. The Marach or Zewur is wrong. The mother's potter from giving her son a bris mila. But she's chayiv in Karban Pesach. And in order to eat a Karban Pesach, she has to give her son a bris mila. So she's pater from giving her son a bris mila out the mitzvah of bris. But she's chayiv to give her son a bris mila in order to be mekayin in the mitzvah of Karban Pesach. That's how the Marsha explains the Gemara. The woman has a chayiv, is pater from the chayiv bris mila to give her son a bris. But it's chayiv in the chayiv Karban Pesach to give her son a bris. Let me just give you an example. Right, if I couldn't eat the Karban Pesach because I didn't have dentures. I'm old and I don't have dentures. I can't eat the Karban Pesach. Would I be chayiv to get dentures if I can do it easily to eat the Karban Pesach? Well, yeah, I'm chayiv to prepare to eat the Karban Pesach. Right? If I had a stomachache and I couldn't eat the Karban Pesach, but I could take one pill and that would cure me. Am I chayiv to take the pill? Of course. As part of the Korban Pesach, you're chayav to do all preparations necessary to allow you to eat the Korban Pesach. So therefore, the woman was chayav to give her son a bris. If she hadn't been in jail, she would have been chayav to give her son a bris, not because she's chayav in the mitzvah of bris, but because she's chayav in the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, and she can't eat a Korban Pesach until she gives her son a bris. Now, this Marasha, however, is making an assumption. What's the assumption? What? No, but that's the case of the Gemara, so that's okay. The case of the Gemara is that it's Erev Pesach, so that's okay. The assumption is, even though she's potter from the mitzvah of bris, she still has to give her son a bris in order to eat Korban Pesach. What does that prove? That even though, even a bris that she's even a mitzvah bris she's potter from, is still necessary in order to eat the Korban Pesach. That you don't only have to do a bris milah that you're chayav in order to eat the Korban Pesach. You have to do a bris milah for everyone in your household in order to eat the Korban Pesach, whether you were chayav to do it or potter from do it. Whether you're chayav in the mitzvah of bris or potter from the mitzvah of bris, you still, your whole household has to have a bris in order to eat the Korban Pesach. Meaning, we might have thought you can't eat a Korban Pesach if you mevatel the asay of bris milah. Marsha says no. Even if you were potter from the asay of bris milah, if there's an orel bershuso, if there's an orel in your household, then you can't eat the Korban Pesach. So even a woman who's potter from bris milah still can't eat the Korban Pesach if there's an orel in her household. And therefore, in this Gemara Yevamos, if the woman was out of jail, she would have had to give the kid a bris, because even though she's potter from bris, she has to make sure there's no orel in her household if she wants to eat the Korban Pesach. Because anyone with an orel in their household is not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach, whether they're mitzvah in bris milah or whether they're not mitzvah in bris milah. Agav, you might notice, if you go back and take that to the Mishloah Melech, then it doesn't prove that a woman's chayav to give her every bris milah. Just that she can't eat the Korban Pesach, she's an oral in her house. Okay, but that's the Marsha's very clever answer. She wasn't chayav because of the mitzvah of bris. She was chayav because of the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, because even if you're potter from bris, you're chayav to make sure there's no oral in your household if you want to be able to eat the Korban Pesach. So that's the way the Marasha explained that Gemara. The Yabates, who's Rav Yaakov Emden, had a different way of understanding that Gemara. He just took, maybe he called it a more Balabatish way of understanding that Gemara. He says, you know why they said the woman was in jail? Because you know what would have happened if the woman was out of jail? She wouldn't have been chayiv to give her kid a bris milah. But if she was out of jail, she would have given her kid a bris milah. After all, what mother wouldn't give their kid a bris milah? Why bring halacha into this? If the mother was out of jail, you don't think she would have made sure her kid had a bris? Right? Isn't that a motherly instinct? Right? Tzipora made sure her kid had a bris. So that's his first of his two terutzim. He says, Rav Yaakov Emden says more balabatish terutz. It says the father and mother was in jail. It says the mother was out of jail. She would have given her kid a bris. She wouldn't have asked the shayla. Mother wouldn't have gone through everything. Am I chayiv in bris or potter in bris? She said, my kid's not going to have a bris. What kind of, you can imagine, right? Your mother, if someone told her she didn't have to give you a bris, would she have let you not have a bris? Of course not. Of course she would have given you a bris. Right? The same as the mother's patron teaching her son Torah. So if chas v'shalom, someone only has a mother, you think the mother would say, okay, so don't learn Torah, be not from? I won't send him to yeshiva? Of course the mother would send you to yeshiva. Certain things that are part of a maternal instinct, even if they're not part of the halakha. So Rav Yaakov Emden says, has another way of getting out of this Gemara. Is a third way as well. He says, maybe it means that the mother just would have, the Bezdin would have given him a bris if the mother's out of jail. But Bezin only gives a kid a bris if there's a mother, because they need the mother to take care of the child and heal him after the bris. Okay, so the mother was there necessary just to help the Bezdin, because Bezdin doesn't give motherless kids a bris, because they know they'll die afterwards, because no one will care for them. They only give kids a bris if there's a mother to take care of, to give them TLC. So the Maisa then, we've seen the Gemara Yevamos seems to say a tremendous chiddush, that Ovid Mutelus Alein, as Rashi says, the Ovid, the Emo are both chayav more than Atevim, more than the rest of Pali. So on the woman's therefore tier 1, just tier 1b. But there are two ways out of the Gemara Yevamos. The Marsha says she wasn't chayav to give a bris mitoras the mitzvah of bris, very lundish Marsha. She was chayav to give a bris mitoras the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, because anyone, regardless of whether they're chayav and bris, anyone with an oral in their household is not allowed to bring a Korban Pesach. And Rav Yaakov Emden just says practically, the mother was out of jail, she wouldn't have been chayiv to give a bris, but she would have felt chayiv to give a bris. That's the way Jewish mothers think. Just one second, let me share one more thought. There's also a funny Ravina Chananel about this in Yoma. The Rabbeinu Chananel, in and I'll just tell you a clever error of Rav Eliezer Waldenberg in the Tzitz Eliezer. There's a Rabbeinu Chananel in Yoma who seems to agree with the Maharach or Zeru as well. So what does the Rabbeinu Chananel say? In Yoma Daf Pei Hei Amid Beis, he says that, he's a funny interpretation of that Gemara, he says, unlike the way we learned when we were kids. When we were little kids in school, we learned who was about to die when Moshe was in the hotel and didn't have a bris. The Malach was going to kill Moshe. Rabbeinu Chananel holds differently. The Malach was going to kill the baby who happens to be named, or maybe not named then, I don't know, Eliezer. So he says, Matsanu she'amol atinuk matzilum enemisa. If you give your kid a bris, you save him from death. Me'eliezer b'noshel Moshe Rabbeinu. Shenemer, as it says, vayvakesh amisa latinuk. Mipnei shenis asla imo v'lomolo. So the Malach was going to kill the baby because the mother, Sipora, was lazy and didn't give him a bris. And once she realized that the kid was going to get killed because she didn't give him a bris, she gave him a bris. And she saved the baby from Misa. Apparently, Rabbeinu Chananel reads that Moshe wasn't there at the time. Right? Moshe must have gone on a certain shlichus, on a certain mission. Sipora was alone with the baby. The Malach came to kill the baby because Sipora was lazy and didn't give him a bris. Okay, so, etc. And then he just ends with Uksiv Yarel Zachar Shalimol Sar Lasova Nichsa Malamisha Kota Nifos Vavana Ava Gol Vavana Atmos Shnei Bechi of Misa. We learn that a baby gets a chi of Misa for the aver of its father not giving him a bris, and an adult who doesn't have a bris gets a chi of Misa for not giving himself a bris. So let's put this Rina Chanan together. The baby Eliezer got the chi of Misa for the aver of his mother not giving him a bris. Father or mother, right? Father, and in case of Tzipora, the mother. So what does Rabbeinu Chananel say? The baby was chayv misa for Tzipora's avera not giving him a bris. So if Tzipora did an avera by not giving him a bris, that seems to imply that a woman is chayav to give her son a bris mila. So for Rabbeinu Chananel, we can also have a proof that a woman is chayav to give her son a bris mila. Does this prove like the Maharach or Zerua? Or could it also work for the Makne, this Rabbeinu Chananel? What? Well, it would work for Maharach or Zeruah. Moshe is not there, she's chayiv. It would probably also work for the Makneh, because what does the Makneh say? A woman is chayiv on the level of the rest of Klal Yisrael. What happened to this hotel? Who was the only Jew in the hotel? Was Tzipora. There were no other Jews in the hotel. They were all slaves of Mitzrayim. So if she was the only Jew around, she had the madrei of chayiv of every Jew, and she's the only Jew around, she was chayiv to give her son a bris mila. I'll just say this, Rabbeinu Chananel, though, seems to be against the Ran. The Ran says women are patur lagamrei from bris mila. So according to this, Rabbeinu Chananel would fit either the Makneh or the Maharach or Zeruah. A woman has the chiyuv of either second tier, because she was the only Jew around, or first tier, because she's second after Moshe. But she has some chiyuv in bris mila. I'll just tell you an interesting, maybe it's a clever, maybe it's interesting for Tzitz Eliezer. Tzitz Eliezer says you can't prove anything for Rabbeinu Chananel, that Rabbeinu Chananel could even fit the Ran. Even if women are patur lagamrei from bris mila, still, Tzipora was chayiv to give her son a bris, and the kid was chayiv misa for Tzipora's avera. Why? How could it be? If women are patur lagamrei from bris mila, how could Tzipora be chayiv to give her son a bris? Don't give me any marshas. It wasn't Pesach. So, the Tzitz Eliezer says, based on the Meshech Chachma, the Meshech Chachma in Shmos Perek Yud Beis says, there's machlokas Rashi in the Rambam. When it says all of Avram's descendants have to give their kids a bris, Rashi says that means only Jewish descendants. The Rambam says, no, also B'nai Keturah. The descendants of Keturah, when Avram married Keturah, the letters to the end of his life, and had all those kids, have to give their kids a bris also. B'nai Keturah are chayiv and bris mila, according to the Rambam. So the Meshech Chachma says, by Jews, we have a drush of the Torah, of Osovalo Sadapata women from bris mila. But by Goyim, there's no difference in men and women. Goyim, men and women, have the exact same chiyuv. So by B'nai Keturah, the father and mother both have a chiyuv to give their son a bris. Now, what was one of the sons of Keturah? Batelad lo es medon v'es. Any Balkoris here? Batelad lo es medon v'es. Midyan. One of the sons of Keturah was Midyan. And who was from Midyan? Tzipora. So maybe Tzipora was chayev, not because the Makner of the Maharach was right. Maybe Tzipora was chayev because her son of Bris, because she was from B'nai Keturah. And in B'nai Keturah, according to the Meshech Chachma, both in Shmos Perek Yud Beis and the Maritz Chayis in the back of the Gora in the Dorm Daf Lamed Beis, women are chayev to give their sons a Bris Mila. Okay, that's a nice, clever idea. Another way of explaining a Rabbeinu Chananel in that pasuk from the Tzitz Eliezer. Tomorrow we'll actually see something that is very, very... this is a little point, a little parparos, dessert from the Tzitz Eliezer. Tomorrow we'll get a main course in the Tzitz Eliezer. So basically what we've seen today, as the waiters are starting to think about leaving, so that's Havamin of coming on time, What we've seen today is three ways of understanding the din, that the aim is potter from bris milah. The one way is the Ran, she's potter legamre, totally from all tiers. Second way is the Sefer HaMakneh, she's potter from being the father, from being the first tier. But she's chayiv equivalent to all of Klal Yisrael. She has to worry the same way all Jews have to worry about Jews having a bris. And the third way, which is very radical, from our Rabbi Barua, also is only a small, midrashic, non-shot, tiny miyut. She just comes second to the father, but she's still first tier. She's just second to the father, but she has to do it. If the father doesn't do it, it comes her before the rest of Klal Yisrael or the Beis Din. And we pointed out that the Ran might have a diuk from the Mishnah, that with Nashim Peturus, women are potter legamre, not just their potter als mothers. They don't have the special parent chiyuv, they're potter legamre. And we pointed out there might be some nafkaminos. One nafkamina might be whether a woman's chayiv to give her avadim a bris. According to the Marach or Zerilla Makdash, she should be chayiv to give avadim. She's only potter from giving her baby. But she's chayiv like a member of Klal Yisrael. According to the Ran, she should be potter from avadim as well. We saw the Ketz Mishnah, Mishnah Melech. The other nafkamina is how to understand the Gemara in Yevamos. Yevamos said the mother is in jail. Shad is like Rashi, Marach or Zeruah. Because if the mother is out of jail, she'd be chayiv. She is a chayiv before the Beis Din. But you could also say she only has a chiyuv one day a year in Erev Pesach, because she needs to make sure there's no Arel in her household in order to bring the carbon Pesach. Or you could say, like the Rabbi Yaakov Emden, that it's not talking about halacha, it's just talking about psychology. If the mother's out of jail, she would give her kid a bris, whether it was halacha or not. Three is Rabbeinu Chananel. Rabbeinu Chananel says the baby was going to be killed, was almost killed, for tzikor zaveir of not giving him a bris, and it's atzla imo v'lomi lasso, which would work well if you hold the mother comes right after the father, like Marach or Zeruah. Which would work well if you hold the mother's chayiv like all of Klal Yisrael, because then if she's the only member of Klal Yisrael in the hotel, she should be chayiv like the Makdeh. But if you hold like the Ran, then either you say Ravina Chananel's wrong, or you could say that maybe she's chayiv al tzni keturah, like say the Rabbi Eliezer Waldenberg says, and not al tzbnei Yisrael. Okay, tomorrow we will deal with some of the makoros on the third makor sheet in Yane Pinyan Aben.
How strict is the Marsha to define
Rishusi? Rishuso?
Like, would a child over 13 still be considered Rishuso?
Ah, that's an interesting question. Would a child over 13 still be considered Rishuso? You'd think not. Because a child over 13 is really totally independent. They're not totally on you. So you'd think not. But it's hard to say. This is the big machlokes about the Rambam discussed this.
Right.
I think the Rambam actually said it.